As was mentioned at the table, this is the time of the Lord's Day. This is the day that we come together each first day of the week to remember our Savior who gave His life for us. So let's open our Bible and let God's Word speak to us. And I hope you'll listen very carefully. I've got a lot to say in a short period of time. So get your Bible and be ready. This is a topic that was requested, and so I'm going to honor that request this morning. May even do some follow-up. But I'll mention this. Somebody requested this lesson from me to present, and I do that from time to time. But if you want a personal study, if I can't cover all the things that are on your mind about this topic in one or two or how many lessons, there's always the option of having a personal one-on-one study. And so keep that in mind if you want to study any Bible topic with me. We'll make an arrangement and a time. This topic this morning is basic to our conversion, our unity with Jesus Christ. It's one of the seven ones of Ephesians chapter 4 that says there's one God, there's one Spirit, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. So it lists in that seven ones as a very primary and very important topic. So we need to know what it is, and we need to understand if this topic is related to the process of salvation. Now, for some reason, the devil has come along and perverted the topic of baptism so that you would not read your Bible and come away with what is commonly taught out in the world. A lot of people in the world say baptism is sprinkling or pouring, and they don't even know what it's for. It's just one of those religious rites they think of. And they don't generally tie it to the salvation process. But the Bible does, and so I want to demonstrate that. Baptism is a term that means immersion. This is when John was baptizing, Jesus and John went down into the water. Why? Because baptism is immersion. You don't take water, bring it up to the candidate and pour it on his head or sprinkle it on them. You take the candidate into the water and you immerse them. That's every example that you have in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, you have that with Philip and the eunuch. They went down into the water. They didn't bring water up to them and pour it on their head, because baptism, by definition, is immersion. Now, technically, that's getting yourself immersed in water. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household were Gentiles. Up to that point, the Jewish Christians had only baptized Jews. So at that point, God wanted to make a statement, I want Gentiles to be baptized too. So God poured out His Holy Spirit on the household of Cornelius. They started speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And then Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And then he commanded them to be baptized. Why? Because baptism is important. Baptism is immersion, but it's not just immersion. It's not a rite that you just let somebody immerse you and that's all there is to it. No, it is immersion with a purpose. Understand that. That baptism is immersion with a purpose. Well, what is the purpose that the New Testament declares should be associated with baptism? Well, it is in becoming a disciple, a learner, a follower, somebody that is joining rank with Jesus. That's his purpose of being baptized. So after Jesus died on the cross and was raised, and was about to ascend back to the Father, he said this in Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So you're going to have to operate under my authority. Now, if you're going to surrender and recognize that Jesus has all authority, then you are, he's telling his disciples, you are then to baptize, you to make disciples, and you are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's part of the process of making a disciple. You are not a disciple of Christ until you surrender to his full authority. And in his full authority, you're recognizing that he has the authority to connect me to deity. He has the authority to connect me to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be a follower from this point. I'm going to be a follower of Christ from this point. Baptism then says, I am now going to join ranks with Jesus as his follower. Another thing, though, in Mark's account, Mark 16, verse 15, if you'll read that, it says, go preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. You see how Jesus links two things together, gets one result. Believe and baptism results salvation. That's as easy as one and one equals two. Belief and baptism, salvation. Now, if you just got one, or if you have none, you don't get salvation. So he's connected it. So the purpose then is of immersion is that I want to be a disciple. I want to be saved from my sins. I don't want to be condemned. Then in Acts chapter 2, you see Peter and the apostles carrying out this commission. In Acts 2 verse 37, after Peter preached the gospel to them, they were cut to the heart. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Notice this, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There is purpose. I'm doing it by his authority for remission of sins. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be saved from my sins. There's your purpose then of immersion. It is immersion with that purpose. Now, if you don't have that purpose, and you just get immersed, that doesn't get you the results. You have to go into baptism with the purposes that God authorized. He didn't authorize anybody, so, well, I'm going to go into it because I think I'm already saved. No, he didn't say, you're saved, and then you can have another purpose now of being immersed to show you're saved. No, that purpose was never given in the New Testament. You are to be baptized with the purpose of obtaining remission of sins by the grace of God. In Acts chapter 22, Paul was rehearsing and going back over his own conversion process. And he had experienced a vision, an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was told to go into the city and he would be told what he must do. He waited in Damascus and he was blinded. And he was 3 days and three days waiting for somebody to come tell him what he must do. During those 3 days he was praying, but he still wasn't saved. Because Acts 22 verse 16, Paul identifies the moment that he became saved. Ananias said, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptized, wash away sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There is immersion with purpose. And then let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, Paul again describes not only his own salvation process, but he describes everybody else's. If anybody is going to be saved, they're going to be saved in the same process. In Romans chapter 6, let's start with verse 1. Now, he's writing to people who have already been saved. He's writing to Christians at Rome. But he's telling them, this is what happened in bringing you into union with Christ. And he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died, underscore that word, we died to sin. There was purpose now. We died to sin. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That is, if that was our way of life, and now we died to it, how can we continue that way of life? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into His death? Now, Jesus died on the cross, but how am I going to benefit? How am I going to come into union with the blood that He shed for me on the cross? Is it just automatically applied to everybody? And the answer is no. If it was applied automatically to everybody, then everybody would be saved regardless of whether they died to sin or regardless of whether they believed in Jesus. So it means then that it's available. He made His blood available. How do I make it accessible to my heart, my mind, my conscience? How do I benefit? Well, you die to sin and you are baptized into Jesus Christ. There's where you come into union with Him. There's where you're baptized into His death. Otherwise, you're not involved in His death. You're not benefiting from His death. You are baptized into that. So that's, again, telling us the same thing that we've seen in each of these cases of conversion. In fact, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is the process all the way through. It's the same thing. Becoming a follower, being saved from condemnation, having remission of sins, having your sins washed away. You're uniting with Jesus' death because you're baptized into it. Therefore, the blood of Christ then is applied to you. And it's not that the water itself has any power of itself. It doesn't. But that is the moment that the blood is applied to you. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, but when does it cleanse us? Well, it's after you die to sin. And it's when you're baptized into Christ that you have remission of sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ now is applied to your account. Now, read further. We were baptized into His death. Don't you know that? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Don't you want a new life? Well, then die to sin like Jesus died on the cross for you. Be buried with Him in baptism and then rise up new. You see that? That the connection is, it's not that baptism has inherent power, but that is the designated place that Jesus said, I'm going to wash your sins away. I'll wash it away when you repent of your sins. That's dying to sin. And that's when you're buried and come into the death of Jesus Christ. And then your sins are washed away. You come up new, washed from your sins. Notice a little bit further now. Newness of life. When? After you're baptized. For if we have been united together. Now that's an interesting phrase, united together, that's the union that takes place between you and Christ. There's a union form. It's sort of like marriage. You have two people that are not yet joined as one flesh yet. They're not together. Now, they love each other and they want to be together, but there's got to be the marriage union. And the marriage then is the moment that they join together and become one flesh. Well, this is the same way with baptism. Baptism is the moment that God joins you together with Jesus Christ and says, now your sins are forgiven. Now you become adopted into my family. Now we are joined together in our holy marriage of Jesus and his people. That's the moment. We're united. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, what did we do? Well, he had a death, burial, and resurrection. We had a death, burial, and resurrection. So it's a likeness. And we're united together in that likeness. And certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So you've got a death to sin, you've got a burial of that old person that you used to be, and then you're risen to walk in newness of life. See how simple that is? So let me frame it this way. Baptism is when you're united together in the likeness of his death, because in baptism you experience the death, burial, and resurrection like Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You see that? All right? So now, that's our goal. Our old man is gone at this point. The old person that had sinful habits and thoughts and did not want to serve God, that person has now been crucified with Christ. The old man was crucified. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We're raised with him through faith in the operation of God. Colossians 2 says it's not faith only, but it is faith that joins in union with Jesus Christ at the moment he says we'll be joined in union. I mean, you can't make up the union point. We listen to him and say, this is the union point. I want to know when it happens. And so he says, you go down with faith that God is going to operate. I don't go down into the waters of baptism thinking the preacher has some kind of power to remit my sins. I don't go down into the grave of baptism thinking somehow that I had the power to remit my sins. I go down into the grave of baptism with faith in the operation of God, that God has the power and the will to remit my sins. And therefore, we are confident in his salvation. He's the one that cuts away our sins. The water doesn't do that, but that's the moment he cuts our sins away. We're buried with him through baptism. Now, here's another thing I'd like us to point out. Baptism can put you into Christ only by God's permission, and he permits it, and by his authority, he says, this is how we're going to make this arrangement. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, you are all, he's writing to Christians in Galatia, says, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now notice this. You're not sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ without being baptized. You're sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this word is the word because. Because as many of you as were baptized. Faith is the reason you were baptized. I was baptized only because Jesus commanded it. And he said, this will be the moment that your sins will be forgiven. And I believed him. You see, so you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, because you were baptized and you were baptized into Christ and you put on Christ. When did I put him on? When you were baptized. You see how simple this New Testament is? Now, people will try to clutter that up and make it difficult, but the Bible makes it actually very easy to understand. Baptism, Bible baptism, can put you into contact with the blood, as we pointed out from Romans chapter 6. Here we are outside, unforgiven, but we're baptized into the death of Christ, where his shed blood is made available, and then we make ourselves available to that blood by being baptized into his death. See how simple that is? Here's another passage. Bible baptism can put you into the one body, not by its own power, but by the authority of Jesus. As you submit to the authority of Jesus, then you can come into the one body of Christ. Notice this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. You don't get into the body of Christ without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, you complying with the Holy Spirit's word to be buried with Christ in baptism. And in that, he says, you are baptized into one body. So none of the spiritual blessings are ours until the point where Jesus says so. Now notice this one. We're baptized into Christ. So Bible baptism is the moment when newness of life is given to us. A new life that's forgiven of all the sins of the past and now has the purpose ahead of serving him. New life in Christ, where we're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're not a new creature in Christ until our sins are all gone. Our sins are not all gone until we're baptized into union with Christ, where we get the benefits of his blood. So in all of that, we see the simplicity that baptism is not the power in and of itself. It has Jesus' authority behind it. You see that? Be baptized, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't do it by your own authority or by some church's authority. Do it by the authority of God, and this will be the moment that you will be saved. He places you in Christ where salvation is. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. He places you into Christ's death where his saving blood was shed. We've already seen that. He washes away. He does the washing. The preacher doesn't do the washing. You don't do the washing. God does the washing. He washes away our sin. He's the one in control of sin and where it is. If it remains on us, that's our fault. But it's going to stay there until we believe in him and are baptized for the remission of sins. And this is the moment he sets us free from sin. So in conclusion, we can say from those passages, Bible baptism is definitely the moment Jesus can give you an answer of a good conscience. I can have a good conscience because I have faith in the operation of God that he is going to remit my sins at this point. Now, there's one other passage I'd like to call your attention to. 1 Peter 3, I've got it on the screen. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now, verse 20 talked about 8 souls were saved through water. Now, somebody says, well, I thought the water destroyed the people. It did. It destroyed a sinful people, but it saved the eight. How? Well, it saved the eight from a sinful world. You see that? Now, that's when Peter goes on in verse 21. He says, now I've said that, there is also an antitype. In other words, that is a picture, that is a type. And I want to tell you about the antitype, the real thing now. Types and antitype. The anti just means it's not the type, it's the real. All right? So he says here that the flood was the type of being saved from a sinful world. And the antitype is baptism. Get this. There is also, this is the New King James Version, the old King James says, the like figure. So he's saying that was a figure, the like figure, whereunto. That was pointing to baptism. The like figure, or the antitype, which now saves us, baptism. Baptism is the point that now we are saved. Not, and what it is not, we talked about, it is immersion with purpose. It is not immersion with the purpose of removal of the filth of the flesh. That is, it's not about getting dirt off your body. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. In other words, if you want a good conscience, here's your answer. Baptism. Why? Because that's the moment that Jesus will cut our sins away. So baptism, he says, it now saves us. Baptism has nothing to do with a physical cleansing. Baptism is an answer of a good conscience. You want to take care of the conscience. Now notice this. Baptism is something done toward God. I am aiming my thoughts toward God because I want God to forgive me of my sins. You see that? Baptism, therefore, is something done toward God, but notice this. The power in baptism is not the water, but through the resurrection of Jesus. You see that? Baptism is the moment, it's not the power. The only reason baptism can save us is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was raised from the dead to show his power over death and to show his power to forgive sins when he says he's going to forgive it. And we believe in it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ empowers us to believe in him in this regard. So let me ask some concluding questions. Maybe someone has not studied this through, and now you're seeing some things, you want to study some further, we'll be glad to do that. But let's think about this. To contend that baptism is not necessary is to cast insult upon the resurrection of Jesus. You have invalidated it. You have said that it cannot do anything, Jesus cannot do anything now by way of forgiving me of my sins. The resurrection proves that he can. The resurrection proves that his death on the cross was freely given by him, not because an angry mob took him there, but because God planned for him to go there and do something in regard to your sins. The proof that it was in regard to your sins is his resurrection. His resurrection proves I have power over death. I have power to give my life, and I have power to bring it back. And if he has that power, then he has power to save us when he says he will. And he said he will when your faith leads you to die to sin and be buried with Christ in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. So let's not invalidate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What about you? Will you get into Christ through baptism? Well, they did in the first century. They were doing it by the authority of Jesus. Will you contact the blood of Jesus Christ through baptism? Well, they did it in the first century. That must be the way it must be done in every century. Will you get into the Lord's church, His body? Well, the first century, you were baptized into His body or church. Will you get an answer of a good conscience through baptism? Well, they did then, because that was the will of God. And we've studied how clearly that is. Will you be saved in baptism through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the question that every soul here must answer. We must make sure that we have been properly baptized into Christ. And if you have need this morning to do that, we can assist you. We got garments back here. We got water. You know, it's like the Ethiopian eunuch, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And so he then said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. His faith then led him to be buried with Christ in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. If you have that need and we can help you, please come and let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing.